The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Good morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is Tuesday, June 15th, 2021. This is the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, online at WTK.com. Happy Tuesday. A lot to get into in just a little bit. We'll get to the countdown of the 2021 Michigan football season. We will get to the recruiting roundup at around 7:45. Eric Adelson joins us for his regular Tuesday spot at 9:05 here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. If you missed it, Wednesday, I mentioned it yesterday. No Townie top three today. Rich Reddy is on vacation, so no Townie top three today. We are disappointed as all of you are, but we will have the Townie top three back with us next week. So we are looking forward to that. Last night in AmeriCup basketball action, we've been following this along, turned on ESPN Plus and watched a little bit of this last night. Didn't see a ton of Naz Hillman in the game last night because she only played 16 minutes. She is one of the starters for Team USA, but she ended up scoring 9 points, grabbed 3 rebounds, had 3 assists. But in a game last night, they didn't need a whole lot out of Naz. They won the game 102-53. Really, it was the second quarter that was a difference. They blew the doors off of Venezuela. Team USA did in the second quarter, 33-11. That was the second quarter. And at that point, the game went from a 5-point separation to, obviously, a 27-point separation at the half. And the game was over. So Team USA is now, they are at 3-0 in pool play. And they have one game remaining in pool play, and that game is tonight. That game is at 9:10 Eastern time against Argentina. And then tomorrow's a day off in basketball action. And then on Thursday, they begin the quarterfinals. And so I don't know if the timing is just, it just kind of seems random on the page, but I'm guessing they'll start their first game at 6:10 on Thursday. That'll be the hope anyway, because we'd like to go to watch the game. And the later the games, the harder they are to watch in our household. But Naz gets another win yesterday with Team USA, and they continue to roll. And it's an important series because the winner of this gets it involves the World Cup of basketball and getting an invitation to that. So obviously the significance of the tournament is important too, but it's just great experience for Naz, who's going to bring that back to Ann Arbor for her senior year when she comes back from this great experience internationally. So as we follow that along, that's a big thing that we're watching inside our household during this Father's Day week. Of course, Father's Day week, we watch the U.S. Open. That's what comes up on starting on Thursday through Sunday. It's out in La Jolla, California, out at Torrey Pines. It leads to great primetime golf. Coverage ends, I believe, around 9 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. So primetime golf on the weekend is going to be really fun. And so the U.S. Open, it's a great tournament. It's a great challenge. It's a lot of fun to watch on TV. These guys get really humbled by some of the really tough conditions that the USGA creates. But leading up to it, it's a lot of talk, right? There's just a lot of talking going on. A lot of press conferences. They start on Monday on Open Week, and the golfers will come into the media room and sometimes have more than one media session leading up to before their opening round on Thursday. Well, yesterday, I happened to have the Golf Channel on. I was doing some other work. I was on my phone messing around doing some work and stuff, and just had the Golf Channel on in the background. I was watching the coverage of the U.S. Open. They bring Phil Mickelson into the media room. So I ended up sort of paying attention to the press conference, but not really. But as the press conference goes along, he's asked a question about Tom Brady. And so needless to say, you hear Tom Brady, your ears perk up when you're a Michigan fan. You're curious, what are they talking about when it comes to Tom Brady? So the question was essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, but the question was essentially, what have you learned by, you know, playing golf and spending time with Tom Brady? Because Mickelson and Brady are playing another one of these two-on-two celebrity golf things. They participated in one already. Peyton and Tiger. Now it's going to be, who is it? DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers, I think, on the other side of the next one. Anyway, but they asked a question about Brady and Mickelson, and he was talking about, you know, winning and that kind of thing. But what he really got into that I thought was interesting, and it's kind of two parts to the story, but I was really interested by his what he talked about with preparation. And there were two parts to this story. The first part that just gets me is when he starts the story by says, yeah, one of the times we were playing Augusta and we were staying at one of the cottages. And just in that moment on its own, I paused. So there, Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson are staying at one of the cottages on the property at Augusta National Golf Course because they're playing Augusta National. I can only imagine what it would be like to be in that foursome. Wow. But that's half of the conversation, just thinking about that power group that's out there at Augusta National. But the other part of it is Mickelson goes into, you know, it's early in the morning, and they're, was it like a couple hours before the round? But Brady's already stretching and doing things to prepare for this round. He's not even a professional golfer. He's just, you know, going out there to have fun with Mickelson on the course. But he, you know, the stretching and the preparation to go out. And so it's really interesting. If you can find the full audio, I'm sure it's on or video, I'm sure it's on Twitter from the press conference yesterday. The USGA, I'm sure, posted it. But it's a really interesting story. Obviously, the part about just playing Augusta is cool. But really, it's about the preparation and what Tom Brady brings to the table on a daily basis. Again, it's not even, you know, we know the preparation that he has on a consistent basis for his football team, right? We know that. We know, you know, how much work he puts in the offseason, bringing his guys together, throwing sessions, this, that, and the other. But here we are talking about him going out and playing golf. It's at Augusta National, but he's going out there to play golf. And I mean, most of us that go play golf, yeah, we get to the course a little early, we loosen up a little bit, we hit some balls, and we go. Here he is, like, stretching and going through a whole workout routine. Maybe I need to work, maybe I'll talk to Debbie and get into some sort of a pre-shot routine like that. But it was a really interesting answer about, you know, Phil Mickelson, even at the age of 50, and he's coming off that win at the PGA, you know, still, this is the same as everybody, right? We all continue to learn things, it feels like, on a near daily basis, maybe even on a daily basis. But as we, you know, but as he, you know, he's 50 years old now, but he's like, I'm, you know, learning things from these guys, and, you know, these different things help him get ready for playing in the, you know, in this case, playing at the PGA, winning it at the age of 50, playing in the U.S. Open, and Mickelson then, to get back to that kind of start of the story, Mickelson's a Southern California guy. It's in his backyard. He was down in Fort Worth the week after he won the PGA. He missed a cut in Fort Worth, and he said he enjoyed the rest of that weekend, and then he got to work on Monday. So a week and a day ago, he got to work at Torrey Pines. They renovated the course a couple years ago, and he wanted to get a couple extra looks at it, so he was back on the course out there at Torrey Pines, a practice round on his own, learning the greens, learning the breaks, learning where to hit shots, you know, where to come in from different angles depending upon pin positions. And so he got his preparation going a week ago, and I found that to be really interesting as well, because tournament is set up. Practice rounds start yesterday. There's practice round today, practice round tomorrow, and the tournament starts Thursday and goes through Sunday, you know, if all the weather conditions hold. But, you know, different guys have different preparation leading into a major. Some guys like to play 2 weeks before the major, which was the Colonial down in Fort Worth, which is what Mickelson did. Other guys like to play the week leading up to the next major, which is what guys like Brooks Koepka did at the tournament down in South Carolina last week. But while they're playing down there in South Carolina, guys like Phil Mickelson get a jump start of learning or relearning the course out in La Jolla, out at Torrey Pines. And so it's a, I'm not saying it's an advantage to those guys that are getting out there early, but it is an interesting strategy to take the week off of competition before the major and get a jump start on learning that course or resting, whatever your preparation is that week, versus playing the week before and trying to build some momentum to go into the tournament. But we'll see, obviously, for which guys who played last week, the guys who took off last week, who has the, you know, if there's an advantage one way or the other as far as how they, you know, how it plays itself out this week at the U.S. Open. We'll talk more about the Open tomorrow and definitely Thursday morning as we get closer to the opening round. Again, the opening round is coming up on Thursday. But as I mentioned, it's Father's Day week. You know, there are certain things that are staples of Father's Day week. One of those is that it's the U.S. Open. It's U.S. Open week. And last year was really weird because COVID pushed it back into the fall. It was a really weird Father's Day week last year because, I mean, obviously things were, you know, pretty much shut down as it was. So you have things shut down, and then on top of everything being shut down, there's no golf to watch on TV. There's no U.S. Open. It's what we're so, I mean, it's my entire life. Most people know that I know. It's your entire life of, that's when you watch the U.S. Open. So it's nice to have that sense. Another thing that is another sense of normalcy as we continue through the spring and into the summer here. Across America as we continue to get towards the end, hopefully what are the end stages of COVID-19. But again, speaking of Father's Day, we want to help you celebrate Father's Day week with a little bit of style with our help from our friends at Lewis Jewelers. It's time to celebrate Dad with Lewis Jewelers. You can enter for a chance to win one of four $100 gift certificates from Lewis Jewelers, or you can win the grand prize of a $500 gift certificate from Lewis Jewelers. Just go to WTK.com/Father's Day. No punctuation or anything in there, but WTK.com/Father's Day. So Father's Day again with the no punctuation. And go in and enter win the contest. And it's a real simple enter to win, and you can win one of four $100 gift certificates or the grand prize of a $500 gift certificate. And that is from your friends here at Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, and our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store, your watch store, proud partner of Michigan Athletics and proud partner of us here at Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. So there's other news and notes that are going on around here with the world of the maize and blue. And that includes news yesterday from the NBA G League. And I bring this up because we were talking about Hunter Dickinson and his draft process and how that's going to play itself out. Well, and we'll probably talk more about this this morning. And obviously, as this process continues, we weren't sure where he was at the stage of his process, but we know that he had not been invited to the NBA draft combine, which is June 21st through 27th. That generally would be a sign of time to, you know, maybe start, you know, making that decision to go back to school. Because if you're not going to the combine, that kind of gives you an idea of where the NBA ranks you when it comes to draft prospects. Well, yesterday, the NBA G League announced 40 prospects who will attend the 2021 NBA G League Elite Camp. And then out of those 40 prospects, a select handful will be invited to the NBA Draft Combine. So there is still a chance to get an NBA Draft Combine invite for players that didn't get that initial invite. And that includes Hunter Dickinson, but also former Michigan wing Shondi Brown, former Michigan point guard Mike Smith. So a couple of the guys that came in and transferred in and played here for a year, they both got invited to that, as did incoming graduate transfer point guard Devontae Jones. If you kind of forget, he's in the draft process as well. Now, the expectation is that he's in the process to learn more, to evaluate, and then step back from the from that, kind of like we expect with Hunter as well, and then come back to Michigan. But they are both in this process right now. So Hunter Dickinson and Devontae Jones, who we expect to come back, and then obviously Shondi Brown and Mike Smith, who are on to the next stage of their career. So again, they are going to participate in the NBA draft in the NBA G League Elite Camp, which is June 19th, which is coming up on Saturday. So this Saturday through next Monday. And then a select number of players from that camp will be invited to the combine, which is June 21st through 27th. And all of that takes place in Chicago. So that's the next step in Hunter Dickinson's draft prospect. The draft process, I should say, is going to the NBA G League Elite Camp, and seeing where things stand with him there, and if he can invite, in fact, earn an invite into the draft combine itself. Also, news and notes from the maize and blue on the football side of things. Right before we get to the countdown here on the show, we talked about Dalen Baldwin here on the show, the Jackson State wide receiver that came on a visit over the weekend, the Southfield, Michigan native who was an unranked prospect in the class of 2017. Well, he announced yesterday that he was in fact choosing the Michigan Wolverines overall offers from Ohio State and other places, in particular at MAC schools. And the young man who played briefly for Tyrone Wheatley and then played for Deion Sanders is now going to come to the maize and blue. And the 6'3" receiver has 2 years of eligibility remaining, adds a nice size, a nice piece into that wide receiver room for the maize and blue. So we'll talk about that this morning here as well. But as we wrap up this opening segment here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, online at WTK.com. It is now time for the countdown of the 2021 Michigan football season. As we inch our way closer to the start of the 2021 campaign, the Wolverines will host Western Michigan at the Big House in 81 days on September 4th at Michigan Stadium. We are 81 Bob Top days away until the start of the Michigan football season. Bob Top was a star football and basketball player at Kalamazoo Central High School, where he won two state titles in hoops. He arrived on campus in 1950 here in Ann Arbor. As he was a 6'2", 190-pound end for the maize and blue. And he played on the freshman team in 1950. He played JV ball in 1951, and then he played varsity as a junior and senior in 1952 and in 1953. He was a starter as a senior in 1953, 8 games at left end, 1 game at right end. He blocked punts and wins in the first 2 games of the season against Washington and Tulane. Later in that season versus Iowa on October 10th, 1953, he had 7 catches for 111 yards. He was the second Michigan receiver to ever have 100 yards in a game. The first was Lowell Perry in 1951. Bob Topp was named first team All Big Ten that year in 1953 as well. He went on to be a 13th round draft pick, 148th overall in the 1954 NFL draft by the New York Giants. After the 1954 season, Topp was inducted into the U.S. Air Force. He then missed the 1955 season, but he was back to the Giants for 1956, which leads to an interesting story. And multiple sources were reporting this story long before Spygate in the NFL. In October 1956, the Giants upset the Cleveland Browns 21-9 after intercepting the radio signals being used by the Browns to relay plays from the bench to a small receiver inside the quarterback's helmet. So this, which came back to the NFL however many years ago now, this has been used in the past. There was no rule prohibiting the practice at the time, and New York's GM, Ray Walsh, boasted to the press about their success. Walsh told the press that Topp was on the bench with the receiver, listening to the signals coming from the Browns' bench. Topp was able to hear the signals more clearly than the Browns' quarterback and then relayed them to assistant coach Tom Landry, who then relayed them to the defensive unit on the field. So, Spygate, a long time ago, and it was actually legal. By the way, Tom Landry was an assistant coach, and I believe Vince Lombardi was an assistant coach on that team for the Giants as well back in 1956. We are 81 Bob Topp days away until the start of the 2021 Michigan football season. We are 81 Tom Pullen days away until the start of the Michigan football season. Tom Pullen came to the Wolverines out of Ottawa, Canada. He was a football, basketball, and track and field star at Glebe Collegiate Institute High School in Ottawa. He was named the most outstanding football player in 1961. He set records in high jump, hurdles, and sprints. He led the basketball team to the Ontario Provincial Finals, and he played goalie for the Ottawa Montagnards. Probably mispronounced that one and slaughtered it really poorly, and my apologies to all of our Canadians in the midst, and I just let down the 8th or 16th of my family that is Canadian by not being able to pronounce that. Before high school, he was one of the first to throw a no-hit shutout in Canadian Little League history. He became the first Canadian to receive a full scholarship to Michigan and the first Canadian to letter in football at Michigan. The 6-foot, 495-pound end, who was a varsity Wolverine from 65 to 67, graduated with degrees in science and education. And then he went on to play professional football. No surprise that he went north of the border, and he played in the CFL, where he won Grey Cups in his first year, 3 years in the CFL. He won with the Ottawa Rough Riders in 1968 and in 1969, and then with the Montreal Alouettes in 1970. He stayed with the Alouettes for another season in 71, went back to the Ottawa Rough Riders for a few seasons, 72 through 74, and then he finished his career with the Toronto Argonauts in 1975. After football, went back to his high school alma mater to become a teacher and basketball coach and did more outside of school in the private sector. We are 81 Tom Pullen days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And we are also 81 Eric Kattis days away until the start of the Michigan football season. Eric came to us out of Coleraine High School in Cincinnati, Ohio, a 1981 arrival on campus. Redshirted that year, was a varsity Wolverine, 1982 to 1985, a tight end for Michigan, 6'6", 220 pounds. He was one of three captains for the 1985 Michigan Wolverines. He was named All Big Ten that year, and he started all 12 games for the 10-1-1 Michigan Wolverines. He had 38 catches for 582 yards and 8 touchdowns as a senior. His previous 3 years combined, he had 7 catches for 60 yards and 2 touchdowns. In 1986, he was a fourth-round pick, 91st overall, by his hometown Cincinnati Bengals, where he played from 1986 to 1991. He was part of the Super Bowl team in 1987, but not on the game day roster. And then he was part of the Jets for part of the 1992 season before being released, ending his NFL career. We are 81 Eric Kattis, 81 Tom Pullen, 81 Bob Topp days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And there are no current members of the roster that wear the number 81. We will get back to 80 to the countdown with the current members of the roster. We have a walk-on that wears number 80. We'll get to that tomorrow. But today, we are 81 days away until the start of the 2021 Michigan football season. The countdown of the Michigan football season is brought to you by Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store. And right now, go to WTK.com/Father's Day, and you can enter a chance to win one of four $100 gift certificates and a chance for the grand prize of a $500 gift certificate from our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your watch store. Again, WTK.com/Father's Day to enter. They're the sponsors of the countdown to the start of the 2021 Michigan football season. They are also a proud partner of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket. We'll be right back.